So how do we incorporate this emerging technology in a way that enhances things without making you really aware of the fact that you're putting a screen between yourself and the art, or without that taking away from the experience?
Hi, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for joining me. My name is Franco Vriano, and I'll be your host for the Tech Plus Art podcast. Tech Plus Art is the community for curious individuals and creators who are looking to make a dent in the universe. Together, we're exploring the new frontiers of creativity, humanity, and how emerging technologies will continue to shape our culture, professions, products, and much more. Join me on this journey as we speak with artists, makers, researchers, designers, and creators from all backgrounds and fields. Tech Plus Art is an inclusive community, and we make our content for you. So we want to hear from you. If you have any feedback, suggestions, topics you'd like us to explore or contribute to yourself, reach out to us on Twitter or via the website. You can check us out at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. So with that out of the way, let's get to today's episode. Today we're joined by Lauren Kassin, the XR Creative Director at Meow Wolf. Lauren is pushing the boundaries of physical experimental installations with emerging technologies at Meow Wolf. It's an immersive experience company based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And if you haven't heard of the group before, be sure to check out the links in the show notes or visit meowwolf.com. Lauren is also a talented creator, designing her own really impressive AR filters in her spare time. She was previously part of Apple, part of the team that shipped the widely popular Monument Valley 2 game, and a Forbes 30 Under 30 recipient. I definitely recommend visiting both meowwolf.com and Lauren's personal work online at laurenkassin.com. So let's get started. Hey, Lauren, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. I'm super excited to have a chance to speak with you about your journey as a creator, as a professional. But before we dive into all that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, where are you from and what was it like growing up?
So I'm Lauren. I'm a creative director at Meow Wolf currently. And I grew up in Texas. And then I was kind of all over the place as an adult. I was in London for a while, in San Francisco for a while. I went to school in Rhode Island. I got a degree in illustration and thought that I was going to be an editorial illustrator, and I wanted to do stuff for the New York Times, and life took me on a totally different path. And now I'm here in New Mexico, which I love dearly. A bunch of my family lives here, and it's a beautiful place.
That's super cool. Yeah, and we'll chat a little bit about Meow Wolf as the episode goes on, but I guess, how did you get started with art, entertainment, creative technology, all that good stuff?
So my mom is an art teacher and my dad is an engineer. So it kind of made sense that I ended up doing creative technology stuff. So I went to school for illustration and I thought that I wanted to be an editorial illustrator. And then my junior year, my winter session where you do electives, and I got a bad number for the lottery and I couldn't get into any class. And the only class that was open was a 3D modeling class. When I got into it, you know, I didn't have any expectations. I didn't really know what it was. It just blew my mind. So I grew up playing video games and I'd played a lot of The Sims. And I was like, this is like The Sims, except I can control everything. Like, I can make the couch exactly the color that I want and I can do everything. And I was totally hooked. And so I redid my entire portfolio in a week with 3D modeling stuff, which it was not good. It was really bad. And then I went to this portfolio review and I got a lot of rejections. And then one guy who was like, maybe you should consider a different career. And then I was like, whatever. And I went away and I worked on my portfolio for my senior year. And I managed to get an internship over that summer. And then I came back and I showed my portfolio to the same guy. I remembered him, but he did not remember me. And he was going through my portfolio and he was like, you know, this is pretty good. And we got to the last page and there was still one piece left over from the year previous. He was like, oh my God, I remember you. And he gave me a job based on that I had improved so much in a year. And I think it was also a humbling moment for both of us, for him a little bit, for the giving feedback and encouragement and what you want to say. But yeah, he ended up being one of my most important mentors.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. You got to love stories like that.
Yeah.
Amazing to hear that you were able to learn from it and grow so quickly. So you mentioned that you're currently one of the creative directors at Meow Wolf focused on XR or cross reality. Can you tell us a little bit more about what Meow Wolf is all about and what your role really involves?
Yeah, so Meow Wolf is a large-scale, interactive, immersive art experience. It's a little hard to describe without going. So Meowth got started as a bunch of anarchist punk kids hanging out in New Mexico who couldn't really get into the Santa Fe art scene, and they were throwing parties, and they figured out that if they all threw in about $10 a month, that then they could rent a warehouse space where they'd be able to do their own art and like do whatever they want. So they started with that. They built this big boat piece of art, which did pretty well. And then from there, they went to George R. R. Martin, who lives in Santa Fe, and asked him to buy a bowling alley so that they could do this like crazy art installation in it. And he did. And that is the House of Eternal Return, which is our flagship location here in Santa Fe. And it tells you the story of a family who is having some strange happenings. And you sort of discover it as you go through the space. And for XR, it means cross reality. So it's sort of an umbrella term for VR, which would be like headsets, MR, which would be hologram headsets, like the Magic Leap, where you can see hologram in the real world in front of you instead of just totally on a screen. And then AR, which is things on your phone. So you'd see that with like Snapchat filters or the IKEA app. And we are trying to figure out what this sort of emerging technology space is going to look like for the physical art that we do and in the Meowth universe, which is a really interesting balance to strike, because I think when you look at the HoloLens, a lot of the demos that I've seen are at conferences and you'll see you can put a dog on the table. But what's so exciting about this technology is that you can put it out in real space and you can interact with the world around you. And it's another term for XR is spatial computing. And I think the first half of that is the most important. And Meowth has this really unique opportunity because we are building physical locations and we have a lot of control over it. And so we have the chance to do some really amazing stuff. And I think there's also some responsibility there, because the reason people go to Meowth a lot of times is to step away from technology, to have an experience in the real world in a space. So how do we incorporate this emerging technology in a way that enhances things without making you really aware of the fact that you're putting a screen between yourself and the art, or without that taking away from the experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Really cool. And I just got to shout out the documentary that you guys have up on the website. We'll link to it. So if anybody can't make it down to that flagship location in Santa Fe, you can check out the documentary and get a really good idea of what's going on. I just watched it for the fourth time and I'm like, all right, it's time for a road trip.
Yeah, you should totally road trip.
All right, sounds good. So these things are kind of out of this world in terms of these experiential experiences, this thing that breaks the mold. You spoke a little bit about it there in regards to the technology angle, but maybe expanding on that a little bit further with other types of challenges. Like, what is the process you guys go through to design these spaces?
So we're figuring it out currently. It's sort of crazy because it started out as this punk anarchist collective and they were all just doing what they could and stapling things to the wall here in Santa Fe. And we're trying to figure out how we keep that energy. So the business now, and we have new locations opening and like construction rules and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's a thing we're learning how to balance. But a lot of the creative process so far has been, we have a creative directors who are space creative directors. So they will have a particular spot in an upcoming exhibition that they'll sort of be in charge of. And that is sort of how the original Meowth went. So there's different rooms within the House of Eternal Return that are made by different artists. And then it all sort of come together to create this larger story. And that's something we're trying to continue with as well, is having individual spaces that have their own voice. And also in terms of community, as we're going forward, we are creating space specifically for local artists in all of the new exhibitions that we're opening. So I think in Denver, I think it is 40%. I'm not entirely sure on that number, but I think 40% of the exhibition is slated for local artists.
That's super cool. And so with each of these, you know, unique room creative directors or artists, do they come to you then to figure out how to incorporate, or how does that role work?
Well, the creative directors meet pretty often. So for a lot of the exhibitions currently, the stage that we're in is around SR, is a little bit more blue sky. So I'm just trying to keep an eye on like, what are all the stories going on? What's going on with all of these different rooms? What artists are interested in XR? And we're sort of in an R&D phase with XR currently and doing a lot of more smaller scale things to test the technology out. in terms of putting anything that would be headset content in a space, there's things like hygiene. So how do you clean the headsets? How do you make sure that your headsets fit all people? Making sure that they can last battery life-wise and heat-wise long enough for somebody to go through an exhibit. So we're figuring all those things out right now. We're also really interested in social AR and web AR. So the things that are happening on Instagram and Snapchat, and then web AR in general right now. We have a thing here called the accessible unknown, which if you've seen the documentary, there's the refrigerator moment where you're in a what seems like a normal house, and then you open up the fridge and you're in this insane portal. And I think there's a lot of potential with the AR that you can do through Instagram currently and through Snapchat to be on a platform that people understand. People understand how social media works, and they might think that they're just interacting with a normal account, and then to have that lead someone down a crazy wormhole. So we're looking at a lot of different ways that we could enact this sort of technology for Meow Wolf.
Cool. And so a moment ago, you spoke a little bit about culture, preserving that original energy, and but now balancing it with business requirements and other concerns. What is that creative process, that tension like, and how do you guys figure out how to overcome it, or do you overcome it?
It's just a constant process. And we grew so much so quickly. So we're now about 400 people. I think having the presence of the founders around a lot. So like artistically, I work with a lot of the folks you saw in the documentary. A lot of them still have a lot of control over how spaces are going to feel and look. And so every day it's a balance. Somebody showed me a chart once, and on one side, it was a line. And on one side was a bank, and on the other side was anarchy. And they were like, we got to figure out how to ride that line. And like sometimes you drift too far in one direction. We probably want to be more towards the like punk anarchist side, but we can't be entirely there anymore since paychecks and salaries and health insurance and dental and all those nice things that we get for having a job with a business.
Yeah, for sure. It's super important, obviously.
Yeah.
And so I guess like throughout the evolution of your career, like how have you approached building these tools, these design systems, the creative systems to help you realize the different types of projects? Maybe starting with Meow Wolf and what you guys are doing with emerging tech, and then maybe we can dive into some of the other stuff you've done previously.
Yeah, so Meow Wolf, we do some sort of sci-fi theater, which is what I've done at a lot of different points in my career, which is like a certain kind of prototyping. So we just did this big demo, an experience that we thought we might want to use in an upcoming exhibition. And we couldn't build the whole thing, but building out a little sliver of it, doing a vertical slice, but like it involves like building actual objects and having people go through it. We have our producer who, Emily Rankin, she worked in the house originally as an actor. And she's directed plays before as well and has a really solid understanding of emerging tech. So she's often our docent when we do these sorts of experiences because she can guide people through how to use things, but also is like an amazing actor, including actors, including physical builds, and like trying to actually do the thing that we talk about doing or get the best facsimile of it so that we can test it out. It has generally been the approach. And I worked in games for a long time before coming to Meow Wolf, and prototyping was always such a big part of that world. And I worked in mostly sort of indie experimental games. The last game studio that I worked with was us too. The last game we shipped was Monument Valley 2 as a senior artist. And after we shipped Monument Valley 2, we went through a long period of prototyping and just sort of figuring out game mechanics and then testing them out with people. And I think that's been the times in my career that I've been the most happy is when we're in the R&D phase. So I think it makes sense that I ended up in emerging tech because it's always going to be R&D, even when you're making something that you hope to ship.
Yeah, absolutely. And so on that point, as a continuation, like what are some of the challenges in emerging technology? Like what's missing? What do you wish existed? How do you find shortcuts around the gaps?
So right now, just a lot of the practical stuff, I think for waveguide HMDs, the biggest problem is heat. So the like HoloLenses and that group of technologies, they've gotten way better, but we're still at a point where they get hot fast enough that it's hard to imagine a really long experience with one. Wait, that's difficult, having something on your face for that long, especially if it's a smaller human head. immersion. So the field of view that you get, the box that you get when you're looking through these glasses, can break the experience for a lot of people. And there's a lot of ways around that. So for instance, we did this experience called The Garage, which was an immersive play here in Santa Fe. It had 11 actors, and it was in Magically Pet Sets. And in The Garage, we ended up changing where we wanted people to put the headset on first, so that when the first piece of content that they saw, which was, we called it the trash wormhole, they'd be able to see the whole thing and nothing would be cut off. And we found that if people start the experience with nothing cut off, then when they walk closer, they weren't really bothered by it so much. They tended not to comment about it as much because they were already immersed in the experience. But if you start people off and they're seeing the edges of their field of view, that tends to be the thing that they focus on.
Huh, super interesting. And so how do you navigate the hardware, software side? What are some of the types of creative experiences you guys are trying to push as far as you can with this hardware?
I can talk about The Garage. So for The Garage, we had a bunch of different little tests that we were doing. You can actually look this one up. We built a big mech robot called the Navigator, which you can ride. You can get up and sit on it. And it has an experience, that a Magic Leap experience that goes with it. So you get up on the robot and then you put a headset on, and then out in front of it, you see an orrery. So all these planets floating around, and you align them by sort of pressing buttons and pulling levers on the robot itself. And we're really interested in custom controllers like that. So having things like that, like the robot that you can pull levers with, or we had a capacitive touch sensor, which it was like a series of about 20 different circles that you could touch. And when you touch each one, things would pop up over it in the headset. And I think that we're tool builders as primates. We like to use our hands and that sort of thing. So while I'm really interested in gesture and what we can do with it, I think, especially for a place like Malwolf, having custom controllers and custom input that interface with the headset is really, that's where the juice is.
I was thinking as you were explaining that, how do you guys stay on top of what's possible? Like, what is that R&D process like? Or do you guys have dedicated block of time before the next show where you're just, or is it just like a constant learning and development cycle?
It's mostly a constant learning and development cycle. We tend to break people off to do little research spikes every once in a while. So we did a little research spike on WebAR, just trying to see what the state of it is. So usually we have a couple key projects going, and then every once in a while we'll pull someone off and say, okay, take a week and like learn everything that you can about WebAR, and then like tell us how you feel about it, or whether or not we'd want to use it at Meowl. So starting off with an evaluation, and if people feel like there's something there, then going forward. And then hopefully, keeping up with conferences and stuff like that. I didn't go to CES this year, but trying to stay on top of what's happening.
Yeah, it makes sense. And so seems a little ridiculous to ask, given that you guys are always trying to, one up the previous thing. But what has been your most ambitious project to date? And what is your creative process like for trying to come up with something that's new and different and blends all this stuff together?
Gosh, my most ambitious project to date, it might have been The Garage. I moved here to Santa Fe, and first day at Malwolf, they were like, welcome, you need to direct this play in a month. We need a bunch of different Magic Leap experiences. Here's a pile of headsets. Here's a warehouse and a budget. Go. I was lucky. I was working with some other amazing creative directors who did the install for the space. Emily Rankin was directing the theater side of it. And then our amazing developers got through building all the different experiences really quickly, but it was just thrown straight in. And we got to have a lot of really cool people come through and sort of experience the play. That was crazy and really, really fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super crazy. Through these experiences, as you're trying to pull everything together, what is one thing that you wish you had known when you started, both Meowwolf and maybe earlier in your career, in terms of going down this path that is completely different?
There's a book that I really love called Art and Fear. And I think I used to, and I still would get really paralyzed by the fear of making something that was bad or doing bad work or being judged for doing a bad job. In the first chapter of that book, they talk about some ceramic students. And there's the ceramic students who spend all day thinking about what it would be like to make a ceramics and planning. And there's the students who make as many as they can. And they actually divided them. And they told some students, your only job is to make 100 pieces by the end of 2 weeks. And they told them, some other students, that you're going to be judged based on the quality of a single piece. And the students who had to hem and haw over making this perfect piece of artwork generally had pieces that were not as polished or like not as far along as the ones who had to make 100, because it's just the process of going through and doing it. And that would be the lesson that I wish I'd gotten earlier, is just making things as much as you can and trying stuff and not worrying about whether or not it's good. I think that's part of why I like emerging technology too, is when you're working with something that's brand new and that there's no bar for, because nobody's done anything with it yet, then you can't really do a bad job, can't mess it up, because who even knows what it is?
Exactly. If nobody's ever seen it before, they don't know what to expect.
Yeah. And it's also cool to be a part of defining what those expectations might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess kind of on that note, like, where do you see the future of creative process side, the technology side, and then this like other new area? Because you guys are also effectively like, you know, redefining what art is and who should be creating it and what it looks like. So how do you think about the trend that you guys have started?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to be a part of a group that is doing that. And it's really cool to be a part of that in Santa Fe. I've been coming to Santa Fe for a long time because I have family here. And the art scene here is beautiful. And I love George O'Keefe's work and all of the history. But it is one that is a little older. It's a little hard to get into. And so seeing the ways in which Meowulf has democratized some art in this space has been really special. And I really like games for the same reason. I think that they democratize art when they're really good. And I think that they can let a lot of different people be creators. So I have a talk that I like to give about how to make games for free. There's so many good resources out there. So for teenagers, or actually younger, so like 10 to 12 year olds, there's a program called Scratch, which you can find, I think it's scratch.mit.edu. But it's like an open program that teaches kids how to code using video games. And then there's the MIT OpenCourseWare, or just OpenCourseWare in general, that you can learn how to do computer science or paint or do all sorts of things from amazing schools for nothing, literally nothing. They're all free. So that's how I learned how to do any sort of coding, was I did it all online through free courses or through friends. And seeing the things that come out of creators like that who are self-taught, who have something to say, I think it's really cool.
That's super cool. And so what's next for you, you know, outside of Meowulf? Are there any projects or focuses that you can share?
So in my spare time, I make AR filters on Instagram, and I do ones that are a little bit more surreal and weird than what you may have seen with like puppy faces and stuff. And it is at 3three.swords, S-W-O-R-D-S. So 3 swords, and you can try out all my crazy filters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. We'll definitely link to that. And yeah. I know you spoke a few moments ago, I guess, about that one resource, the book, and the piece of advice attached to it. But if there was a way to wrap up this amazing conversation with something to think about or some insight that you've gained, you know, throughout your career that you would share with a younger version of maybe yourself, you know, just going into it, what would that be?
Don't worry too much about what other people think, especially about your art. The worst thing that you can do as an artist is to stop creating. And as long as you're making something, you're taking steps forward. And I'm glad that I didn't listen to the guy who told me not to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. What an amazing way to cap off that episode. Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. It was amazing to speak with you today.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Well, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Tech Plus Art podcast. We're a very small team behind this project, so we greatly appreciate all your support. If you love our content and these podcasts, consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend or two. This really does go a long way in helping us get discovered and reach more creators. As always, you can find us online at maketechart.com and at maketechart everywhere else. See you soon.